bless this word to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you know we're in verses 1 to 15. We're in part 2 of a message entitled, Christians Behaving Badly. Christians Behaving Badly. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and frankly, they're out of control. They are a carnal group of people that are all divided up. They've got all their little cliques. They've got all their little clubs. And it would be completely normal for them for a certain group of people. Let's say that if we were in Corinth, Greece, they would want, the church leadership would want, everybody who is from North Africa to be sitting in that area of the church. And then in this area of the church, those of you who are from Asia, you can sit in that part of the church because it's Greece. It was like one of the hubs of the world. And if you're Greek, oh, you could sit right here. Okay? And if you're somewhere in the Euro-Asian people's group, or if you're somehow from Western Europe, then you would maybe be in this part. And it would be all segregated up. It would be all divided. We get the word clique from that kind of stuff. And what happened was they got down to, because they only hung out with each other, it came down to the point where this group would say, well, I'm really hip on Peter. I think Peter rocks. He's my guy. Oh, really? Well, that's nothing. We're this people group, and we really think Apollos, he's a brain. We really like him a lot, and he's super, and he's our man. And this group over here would say, well, you know what? We vote for Paul. He's our guy. And they would come together in a church, but each people group would defend and promote their own guy. It'd be like this today. Oh man, we're so into Charles Stanley. I mean, so am I, but we're so into Charles Stanley. Oh, you know what? We're so into Miles McPherson. So am I. I'm naming my favorites right now. Or whatever it is, Chuck Smith, we're Chuck Smith group. I'm of Chuck Smith, I'm of Miles, I'm of Charles Stanley. You understand that's carnal? The Bible says it's carnal. So hang on to your seats. Verse 1, he says, and we studied this last week, and I, brethren, so he's talking to Christians. Man, is he going to talk to them. Could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. That's a rebuke. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For while there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one, listen, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, notice this, he's going to list some items here. Everyone's building on the items, but what are they using? If anyone builds on this foundation, that is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built upon endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned or burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself, the Christian, the brethren, the guy he spoke about in verse 1, he himself will be saved. This is not an issue about salvation. He's only talking to the Christian today. yet so as through fire. Salvation is not the issue here, church. Listen up carefully. He's talking to Christians. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can take a big breath and relax. This service has nothing to do with you. But for the Christian, Paul says, it's time to grow up. You're behaving badly. Last time, part one, very quickly, this is what we looked at. Number one, we looked at verses 1 and 2 regarding Christians behaving badly, and the rebuke was this: they just wouldn't grow up. Remember that? They just would not grow up for 3 reasons. Number one, they wouldn't eat what they should. They didn't have an appetite for the Bible. They were recreational type of believers. They were going to heaven, but they didn't take God very seriously, and it was evident in their lives. Number two, they had a very, very poor diet. Their diet was bad because they weren't eating what they should. So when, listen, you got to eat something. A person will have a spiritual appetite for something. And a Christian who's not growing will eat silly stuff. They'll eat junk. You ever been around goats? I'm not saying that a Christian is a goat. And I'm not making the analogy from Scripture. But a goat will eat anything, including your purse or your wallet. Or they'll eat your shorts. Goats are nuts. They have found metal inside of goats' stomachs. They'll eat anything. Some Christians who are not walking with God and in fact are carnal will eat anything but the Bible. They're big on magazines, big on catalogs, big on books. But they don't have a very good diet because they're not eating the Bible. And then also we learn that they can't keep anything down because their diet is poor and they're not eating what's right spiritually. They can't keep anything that is of meat, that is the doctrine of the Bible, the Word of God, down. They can't grow onward because they can't handle it, which led us to point number two, and that is they don't play nice either. They won't grow up and they don't play nice. Why is that? Because their emotions get the best of them every time. They're emotionally based Christians. They're going to heaven, but they whine about everything. We saw also that they're selfish. Their selfishness defines them. They want to know why the church isn't taking care of them more. How come you didn't pick my picture? How come you didn't do my thing? And what's in it for me? And it's all not about others. A spiritual Christian cares about other people and trusts God to take care of them. But not a carnal Christian. Which leads to the other thing we looked at was jealousies. They're filled with jealousies. Jealousies surround them. We saw that in verse 3. Now, here we go. We pick it up where we left off. This is the third point if you're taking notes today. Christians behaving badly, part 2 of our message, is that they just won't stop pretending. They live in a delusional world, the carnal Christian does. And well, how do you know, Pastor Jack, if they live in a delusional type pretense type world. We look at verse 4. It says, for when one says, I'm of Paul, and the other, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Says the Apostle Paul. You know what you think about that? I'm of Paul. These are grown-ups. I'm of Paul. Oh yeah, so what? I'm of Apollos. And I thought about that for a minute. When's the last time you see something like that? So somebody's pretending. They pretend that they're somehow more holy because they go to, what, Calvary Chapel? Oh, we're really right on. Oh yeah, where do you go? I go to the XYZ Assembly of God Church, and we're really right on. Oh, that's what makes you right on? Oh, you know what? We trump all you guys. We're Baptist. We're the best in the whole world. John the Baptist. Oh, that's the reason. You're carnal. Well, Pastor, I know you're talking to everybody else, but I am a member of the First Baptist of Chino Hills. You're carnal. Do you know when a religious organization says to you, you're not going to go to heaven unless you're a member of our group, you're carnal. As a church that has open doors to anybody here in this church, you can... There are people who attend, in fact, it's safe to say, most people who attend this church are what I call visiting Catholics. Visiting Catholics. The reason why you didn't laugh very loud is because it's you. Here's the reason why. And I love it. And I love it. I'm not joking. Here's the reason why. You go to Mass at St. Paul's or St. Denis or St. Margaret's. You go to Mass. And as soon as you're done, you come straight here for Sunday morning service. Did you know that, everybody? That's what they're doing right here. That's what they're all doing right here. Or they come here and then they go to Mass. And I don't care, long as they're here getting the Bible. What do I care? I mean, you tithe over there, but you come here for Bible study. So hey, that's okay, right? Here's the thing. You're growing. And I love it. In fact, it's so cute. In the foyer, people will often come and say, Father Jack. I know it's hard to believe. My son-in-law emailed me. And it was cute because he's calling me dad, or trying to. He's getting used to it. He's learning. It's just now coming up on a year of being my son-in-law. And so I'm also his boss, which is not a good thing for him. And I'm his pastor and father-in-law. So he emails me just the other day and he says, Father, he didn't even think about it. He goes, Father Jack, I got a question for you about, it was about like Home Depot or something like that. And I emailed him back and I said, I really like the Father Jack part. Father Jack. Well, you sweet, precious Catholics call me Father Jack in the foyer. And I'll say to you, Jack's fine. Pastor Jack's fine. Okay, Father Jack, I have a question for you. It's the cutest thing in the world. I love it. I love it. And I know what's going on. They're hungering for the Bible. They're growing. They're coming here. And God's doing an amazing work in their life. And you watch what God does. You watch what he does. Here's the beautiful thing about it is, God is not in competition with anybody. He's God. Who does he compete against? Who can compete against him? So if you're a Calvary Chapel dude, if you are an Assembly of God person, if you're a Catholic, if you're a whatever, you know what? If you find yourself saying, well, you know, you got to go to my church to get saved, you're carnal. You need to know Jesus Christ to get saved. You got to be, Jesus said it, you got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's it. Well, listen to this. They said, well, we're of Paul and we're of Apollos. And it just cracks me. These people were grown-ups talking like that. Divisions and splits. It's wrong. It's petty and sad when you see that going on and God doesn't like it. You remember growing up? You remember those, remember growing up and you had Superman underwear? Huh? Remember Spider-Man underwear? You guys remember underoos? I think they should be outlawed, personally. I think they're... But why? Because a kid is normal until you put on a pair of... Right? Completely normal. And then he puts on a pair of Superman underwear. And here's the part that I think it should be illegal. The kid is so caught up. He's running around. Now neighbors are over. You have friends over. He loves his underwear. He puts on his Spider-Man underwear and he's running around the house now. Hey, if he had normal like white Fruit of the Looms, he wouldn't even leave his room. But I've got, and what's he doing? I'm Superman. Well, you're not, but you're 9 years old or you're six and I understand what you're doing. But the next thing you do while you're talking to your neighbors, you look out in the backyard or the front yard, even worse, and he's running around in your front yard. Well, he's got a sheet on his neck and he's running. What's he doing? He's pretending. He's pretending he's Superman or Spider-Man. That's cute if you're 9 years old. But when somebody shows up, if you're 35 and you're wearing underoos, dude, you got problems. And we laugh because we go, man, no kidding, that guy would have problems. And Paul is saying exactly that. You show up and you're wearing your religious robe thing, you know, and you're running around and you're acting like this. And Paul says, you are carnal. You should have outgrown that a long time ago. And you find your identity in being a member of that group or that movement or that church. And the moment you are identifying yourself with a church rather than Jesus, you are carnal. Do you understand that? It's awful quiet in here. I hope you get that. Come in here is not going to save you. Well, that's why I'm not coming back, Pastor. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the church down the street or over there. What? Can't save you. It can't happen. It's a very critical thing. It's a very important thing. A second thing we look at in verses 5 and 6 is because this, they can't stop pretending because they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see the big picture. Verse 5, look at how Paul, I love the way Paul is thinking, of course, under the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, who then is Paul? Paul's saying, who am I? And who is Apollos, his partner in preaching the gospel? Can you underline this in your Bibles? But ministers through whom you believed. That's it. But ministers in whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Isn't that great? It's amazing for me to actually see this happening in life. It's beautiful. You guys, check this out. Paul says, if anything, Apollos and Paul are servants, ministers. That's what the word minister means. If a pastor, now look, if the pastor's old and can't walk very good, I understand this. But if he can, then I don't think he should have his own parking spot with his name on it. And it's the, what's that spot? That's the pastor's parking. Well, doesn't he have legs? Well, yes, but he's the pastor. Yeah, he's the minister by whom we've come to believe in Jesus. Minister. What is Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime of Israel. You know what that word means? He's the chief among servants. We have ministers. Our politicians are supposed to be ministers. Did you know that? They are supposed to represent. By the way, I'm going to shock you right now, and you'll hear more next week. I'm going to shock you. A lot of people, and I'm for this, are fighting Sharia law in America. You, listen, keep fighting, because it is from hell. But listen, you want to know why Judge Von Walker overturned 7 million votes of yours in California? You want to know why? Because he believes in Sharia law. Do you want to know why this Congress, the 111th Congress, did not listen to your voice when you said, don't pass the health care bill, it's going to cost us more money and destroy our economy? Did you know why they will not listen to not raising taxes? Do you want to know why they won't listen to the majority when it says 71% of Americans do not want the mosque built in at Ground Zero in New York? You want to know why they're not listening to you? America is already practicing Sharia law. That's it. You're in it. When a representative who says they're a minister for you. Our constitutional form of government has been hijacked. And we vote for people. We send them to office. And then someone slips them $50 million. Or $40 million, or $43 million. From Saudi Arabia, and they vote exactly how they're told to vote. You think I'm making this up? I've had members of Congress tell me this. That's for next week. I'm already getting pumped. I can't do it. I got to stay focused. They've lost the big picture. The carnal Christians lost the big picture. The big picture of the church is to get the gospel to the world. The big picture of the church is to love on one another. The big gospel is the big, yeah, it's a big gospel. The big gospel for the big picture is to give you big love to the glory of God. Paul says you're not going to be able to do it if you're talking about, well, I'm of Paul and well, we're of Apollos, so let's fight. No. Mankind can only plant, we can only water. God gives the increase, church. And that's why, by the way, I got to tell you, we had our board meeting on Thursday night. And I got to tell you something. You want 80% of the time of our board meeting, and it goes for hours. 80% of our time. I can show you what it was about, what it sounded like. I can show you what it sounded like. Are you ready? You watching? You want to know why? We're on how many radio stations around the world? How few of those do we pay for? You mean people are putting the radio program on for free? How many people are reaching Jesus through GMO on the internet? How many of you signed up last week to become online missionaries? Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. And what do we do? I'm getting goosebumps talking about it right now. Can you see him? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be like, yes. We're doing this and we're doing that. And we've got this done. And by satellite and by iPhone or by this technology. And in France and in South America and down in Australia. And on the Maritime Radio Network, ships at sea. And the U.S. military and the United States Marine Corps. They're broadcasting our programs to all their marine. Excuse me? One waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. I got to tell you something. If God wasn't moving here in this church, I'll be the first to leave. I don't need the job. I don't need the money. I want to go where God's at. And if he's going to move down the street, then let's go. Why? Because in the end, it's all going to be about God giving the increase. And I'm not talking about church size. Don't let the size of this particular service right here, right now, that you're sitting in fool you. Just because there's a bazillion people here right now doesn't mean that we're right. It doesn't mean that we're doing something right. There's bigger churches than this that are way off base. It's not size. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, they follow me." If we just give the word of God out like we're doing right now, God's people will respond. You don't have to doctor it and fool yourself about serving it up. God gets the glory. We are to decrease, he is to increase. And it's a very important thing. But when you lose the big picture, you get all carnal. It's all about me. It's all about the denomination, or it's all about the movement, or it's all about our address or our street corner. No way. We have humbly prided ourselves in this work that God's doing here to be absolutely blown away at his faithfulness. Which leads us to this, verse 7. They just won't stop pretending because they love being the center of attention. A carnal Christian cannot grow because they can't get their eyes off themselves and onto others and onto the Lord. Ultimately, they can't grow because they're not in the middle. He says in verse 7, so then neither is he who plants anything nor he who waters, but it's God who gives the increase. G. Campbell Morgan writes in his commentary, the carnal Christian is the high maintenance believer among us. Isn't that a great word? He's the high maintenance believer among us. You get ready to go to spiritual battle or go do something or let's do this or let's do that. And they can't go. They can't stop thinking about themselves. Well, what am I going to get? You're not going to get anything. Well, then why should I come? And the beautiful thing about that is, then please stay home. And that's sad. Oh, you're going to heaven. But that's not the way he wants you to live. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, listen to what Peter says. Having been born again, beautiful, past tense, you're saved. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. That's the word of God. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Wow, that's in you. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower fades away. But what does it say? The word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. That's what you want to do. You know the great statement of Jesus, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. Right now the carnal Christian says, I want to be first. Where's the line? Where's the line? Here's the line. The first thing they do is they go, I'm speaking spiritually now, although we don't appreciate it physically either. The carnal Christian goes right to the front to see what they can do to get in the front line. The spiritual Christian says, I'm not going to sweat it. I just got here. I'll get to the back of the line. And you stand in the back of the line. And the amazing thing about that is Jesus says, don't worry about it. The last will be first when I get done with the program, and the first will be last. Well, how does that happen? I don't know. Maybe when they open the door, it opens up and slaps the first guy in line in the face. Or what if they said, you know what? Have you ever been to those elevators that have two doors on each side? Walk in there, everyone's facing this way. Press the button, walk in. Oh, at least I'm the first one out of here. And then it stops and the door opens up. And he's like, hello, come on. And everybody's out. It opened up behind you and they left that back way. It's hilarious. Think of that. First shall be last, last shall be first. Now, this is very important. Point number four, it's this. The Christians behaving badly, it's this, that they hinder the work of the kingdom, verses 8 through 10. The carnal Christian hinders the kingdom work. Number one, by goofing off rather than getting the work done. They goof off. Verse 8 says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. We're in this together. We're all planting and watering together. That's all that's important. Listen, ask yourself, don't say anything out loud. Ask yourself this question. Are you planting or are you watering? See, what does that mean? Are you getting the word of God out to the world? Are you participating? And they say, how am I supposed to do that? What do you think your tithes and offerings do? What do you think your prayers are doing? What do you think? If ever you get a DVD or a CD or whatever of a message here, do you understand that? In fact, I heard this from somebody here a while back. And they said this, I can't believe it. I have a friend in another state and you send the teachings there to them for free. And I have to pay, what is it, $100? Now, how much is it a message? $3. I have to pay $3. First of all, you don't have to pay anything. You want to make a big enough stink about it, we'll give it to you. Truly, I'm not joking. Here's the thing. Those people that are serving there are instructed to say, ma'am, sir, we give you who attend here the opportunity, that money, 100% of it goes to getting the gospel out to those who don't live in the region. And they say, I'd like to get these messages here in the Indian reservation of the Blackfoot Indian tribe in South Dakota, which is a real story, but we can't afford it. Well, I don't care about that. I can't believe I'm having to pay $3. Hey, give her the teaching. Listen, we're not losing. She just lost in investing in the work of God. To the carnal Christian, it's only as far as their nose goes. They can't see the end. It's like coming to the end of your life. And the book of Proverbs says that the parents are to store up an inheritance for their children. People come to the end of their lives and say, man, I got nothing. I didn't, well, you know, I had cool this and I had a cool that. And I had a really wild one of those and a really fun one of these. Well, why does that happen? Well, how is it that you come to the end and there's nothing? Take that into the spiritual step. You come to the end of your life and you didn't invest in the kingdom of God. It's because you didn't believe what his word had said. And the Bible says you're carnal. Oh, you're going to heaven. That's settled. You go, thanks, Pastor. But I got to tell you, if you care about the things of God, that ain't enough. That's already settled. You're in, man. You're in. But now that you're in, what are you going to do with it? It's exciting. I got to tell you guys, the hindering of the work, goofing off rather than getting the work done, putting my notes together this morning, because by the time I come to Sunday morning, I have notes all over the place, and then I just have the Lord help me assemble it all right before service. Lord, what do you want? I throw away more stuff than I wind up using, and it's just part of the process. And I was putting this here, and the Lord just laid stuff on my heart. And I got to tell you, I got emotional, and I didn't get emotional at first service because I think I cried it all out in the early hours of this morning putting this together. And here it is right here. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 really affected me. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but, or and. Some of your Bibles say but. That's more accurate. But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. He's talking to Christians. You can't work your way into heaven. Do you all understand that? I need a yes or I need a no. You understand that? You can't get to heaven by being good. But now that Jesus has saved you, be good. So check this out. I'm just sharing what God has convicted my heart about. And this is the way I read it this morning. He who plants, me. He who waters, me. Lord, show me which, or give me both. And he's been faithful to do that. God has put me in places I would never have even picked or even thought of possible. How is it? On Friday night, I'm speaking to the concerned women of America. I'm not a woman. I am concerned, but I'm not a woman. And I am an American. What am I doing there? Beverly LaHaye wants me to speak there. How did this happen? He said, Lord, just don't let me blow it. And I don't know, man. There was another pastor that he was there to open up in prayer, and I was one of the speakers, and he and I were like this. Oh, you okay? No, I'm not okay, man. You get like this before every service? I get nervous before service, but not like this. What's the deal? It's all these chicks in the room. I mean, look at us. They're like, but all these women in the room. This is not normal. What are we doing here? I'm serious. We had a real conversation doing that. We're like this. What are we doing here? I can't believe it. It's being broadcast back to Washington, D.C. It's like, it's great to be here. I'm like, nose starts growing. Ooh. It's terrifying. I said, what am I doing here? I don't know, Lord, but help me to be a waterer or a planter. And I was so convicted thinking, this is what the Lord laid on my heart. And I don't know what this means. And don't tell me what you think it means. God can tell me what it means. I believe he said, Jack, you're running out of time. Well, what does that mean? You're running out of time. And he gave me these verses. This is for me. He gave me this thought. Time, resources, and opportunity are the issues, Jack. Time, resources, and the opportunity are the issues, Jack. Because you're already saved. You're going to heaven. I'm done with that part. Now I want to know what you're going to do with your life. What do you want me to do? And this is what I got. Matthew 6:24. This may or may not mean anything to you, but it means everything to me. Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other, but you cannot serve God or money. Did you know America is baroque? We are mathematically impossibility to repair our economy. We need 1,943 years to recover from the spending that's happened in the last 18 months. We need 1,943 years to pay back, I believe it's $1,000 per person per day, the formula, you can put it in, it's on the web, it's amazing. It's going to take us almost 2,000 years to pay back the spending that's happened in 18 months. It's over for America. Over! And God is saying, Jack, you're in a culture and you are of a people who will either serve me or money. And I'm trying to give you guys a hint. God says, the money is gone. And you still don't recognize me. The money's gone and you still can't see me as a nation. As a people, you're not calling out to me. Time, resources, and opportunity. John 9:2, Jesus said, the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus says, neither one of them, neither his parents or the man sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And this is encouraging now. But watch. Are you guys with me? You're sure quiet. Are you with me? I must work the works of him who sent me while it is yet day. Jesus is saying this. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Leave that up on the screen for a second, guys. This is the Son of God in flesh, God eternal. The Son of God. Come from heaven to earth. He says, I must work the works of him, that's his pop, that's dad, father, who sent me while it, what? It is day. Why? Because night is coming. Leave it on the screen. I know I'm going to quote another verse, but just leave this one on the screen. Didn't Joshua go to battle? They were being invaded by a bunch of bad guys. So are you. And Joshua says, oh my gosh, we got to do something. And he goes to war. Joshua commands Israel, goes to war to fight the enemies of Israel. And Joshua figures out, because he's a great general, holy cow, he's Jewish. He didn't say holy cow. He said, oy vey, we're running out of time. We are running out of time. And he cries. Maybe David Petraeus needs to pray this prayer. General David Petraeus. Joshua goes, God, make the sun to stand still in the valley of Adullam. And don't allow the moon to rise. What an insane prayer. Are you kidding me? What made him even think that? He's probably thinking like you and I think. It's not so far-fetched. Man, I just wish I had more time in the day. You ever think that? I wish there was more days in the week. I wish there were more weeks in the year. He says, I wish the sun would stand still. I got to finish this job. If it gets dark, the enemy is going to flee and they'll come back another day. Guess what God did? It says that God heard his prayer and he caused the sun to stand still. And they finished the battle. Time is everything. And the Lord is laying on my heart, hey, Jack, what are you doing with your time and the opportunities I give you? What are you doing with your resources? I can't wait to tell you something in about 7 months. I can't tell you right now. I can't tell you because if I tell you and if it doesn't happen, then I'll look like an idiot. But in 7 months, you'll know. Lord willing, please, Lord, cause the sun to stand still. It will be a miracle. I think God answers prayers like that if we're willing to pray them. And the person that's here this morning saying, man, I don't think God wants to do anything in my life. Listen, buck up, okay? And pray this prayer. Dear God, cause the sun to stand still and let me get in the game. You're not in the game yet. You're not in the fight. You're not in the war. God answers those prayers if you're in the war. Get in the fight. Call Boxer and Feinstein. Seriously, get in the fight. Help us. Stand up. Get in the fight. Don't sit there and wait it off. And by the way, we all know, when you don't get in the fight, you are the number one criticizer of those who are in the fight. Everybody knows that about you. Don't you know that? You've deceived yourself. Well, I don't think we should. That's because you're not doing anything. I told you before, I'll say it again. Let's, as a church, get an A for trying, and if we fail, better than an F for sitting around and doing nothing. Get in the game and watch the sun stand still. Watch God impress upon your heart. More time! He says in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. Yes! You are God's field. You are God's building. This is awesome! Because when Jesus comes to a field, he expects fruit and vegetables to be produced. When he comes to a building, he expects to be invited into it. Paul's talking to the Christian. He's saying, look at you guys, you're amazing. Yeah, you're goofing off, you're carnal, you're a bunch of nincompoops. But the truth is you're going to heaven. By the way, I'm not saying any of you are nincompoops. No, you guys are different. I mean to tell you, I'm not joking. You guys are engaged. You guys are shaking it up. What do you think? I laughed when I made that announcement about Feinstein and Boxer. They know this church. I was speaking at that event on Friday night, and women came from Florida, and they said, we watch your services on Wednesday night from Orlando. They know you. Unbelievable. You guys are awesome. Here's the thing. There is a danger. If there's one person in here this morning that is nurturing a carnal heart as a Christian, you're going to heaven. But nobody, if you died today, nobody would miss your Christianity. That's a scary day. Why? Because look at verse 10. They're carnal Christians and they hinder the kingdom of God by having not gotten involved They've resisted the work. According to the grace of God, verse 10 says, which was given to me, I, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, Paul said, and others build on it. Let each one take heed how he builds. The word take heed means to examine, use a plumb line. Watch out. Make sure it's going upright. Examine your Christian walk. Watch out. Get involved. Don't miss it. Fifth and final point. I got to do this very fast. Christians behaving badly. Why? How? They go about building their own kingdom. They build their own kingdom. The only sad thing about this, not the only sad thing, the profound sad thing is, you know those kinds of things because they last one generation. They last as only as long as the guy's around. Verses 11 to 13, their foundation's cracked. They start their work on a disgruntled heart or a bitter heart or a jealous heart or an ambitious heart. They're cracked. They're kingdom builders for themselves. Look what he says. For no other foundation can anyone lay which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See this? You hear? You can't see this, but I wish you could hear it. Can you hear that? Here's the carpet. And here's this. Hear the difference? I'm standing on a bronze plaque right here. What's it say? No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. It's been here since this church started. You can build other things. You can have a foundation. But if it's not Jesus, it's going to come crumbling down, my friend. You say, when is that going to happen? Oh, it's going to come. I'll talk more about that in closing, which I'm going to do in a second here. Look at this other point here in verses 14 to 15. They have forgotten about the judgment. It's all going to come to an end someday. See, they get so caught up in what's in it for them as a carnal. Well, what do I get? And how come I'm not in the front? And it's all about me, and I'm going to name it after myself. Can you imagine? Think about this. Let's start etching your names who tithe in the glass of the church. Huh? Why not? Let's take these incredibly illustrious and glamorous seats you're sitting in. I'm joking about the cheapest seats you can buy. And put your name. Let's embroider your name on there. What do you think of that? Most of you, it makes you sick to your stomach to think like that. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Amen. But some people go, hey, that's a great idea. I'd like that. Watch. You know why? The person who thinks like that is the person who either A, gave a lot, or B, thinks they gave a lot. But here's the thing is they didn't give anything to anybody, did they? They gave it to themselves. When you go to Disneyland, if you ever afford to go to Disneyland, when you walk up to Disneyland, have you seen the bricks on the ground? What's it say? It says, Mr. and Mrs. Mouse. Well, how'd you do that? I want a brick like that. Daddy, daddy, I've heard kids say, I want a brick. I want, I name my name. Well, you got to give that rat or that rodent, you have to give that rodent a lot of money, man, to get that on there. Now we're done. No, we're done. But I want you to think of this. It's going to be really mean. Paul is saying your life doesn't belong to you, Corinthians. If he was here today, he'd say, hey, Chino Hillians, doesn't belong to you either. Doesn't belong to you. Belongs to God. Right? And whatever we do, we're either building the kingdom of God and we're excited about Jesus being exalted. Right? Or we're hanging, here's the funny thing. Or we're hanging on to everything we got and we think it's ours. We've polluted ourselves. I think it's mine. It's all mine. Look what I have. And you don't have it. And when you come by this church, you know, the city's so nice. The city says, we are thinking, we haven't decided yet, but we're thinking that Calvary Chapel Chino Hills might be the most beautiful building in the town, in the whole city. What was that supposed to mean? What are you supposed to do with that? Well, thank you. Thank you very much. What do you say to that? Okay. Praise God. He did it all. I told you this a couple weeks ago. He did this. Okay. So watch this. We need to make sure that we are constant Christians, not part-time. And even in our leisure, now I'm getting really excited. That's why I'm closing with this. I'll even send the worship team out. Watch this. That's how much I'm committed to closing. Lisa and I were supposed to go on vacation in June. And then a granddaughter came along, messed all that up. So we had to cancel our plans. And it's been a long time since we've been on vacation. Like, and we need to take vacation. You have to have a break. God says you need a Sabbath. And if you don't Sabbath, he'll knock you out. I know what that's like. If you don't take a break, God will take it. He'll get it out of you. And so we have a vacation coming up in, 3 weeks or something like that. It's like, yes. And so I've been putting money aside. In fact, as soon as I come back from vacation, I personally start putting money in a can instantly for the next year's vacation. Okay? And I have God's approval to do that. So watch. When you go on vacation, do you take your Bible with you when you go on vacation? Because you live even your vacation or your leisure time today, this afternoon, you live it to the glory of God. Okay? Because it's all His. And I want you to be bold as a lion. I want you to be able to go on a vacation or take a break or take 3 days or go climb a tree and look. Whatever you want to do, take a walk along the beach and be free because you've given your life to God. Okay? Those of you who are carnal, you don't even understand what I'm talking about. You say, well, I could never save up money to go on a vacation because I got to do this, that, and the other thing. And I certainly can't give money to get in the gospel to the world or give any of my time to help at the church or to go on a missions trip to Haiti. I could never do that because my time's too valuable. Dude, you're running out of time. You're running out of time for God. But isn't it funny, the same group of people where you can take your Bible on vacation because you're free. You guys are free. You've obeyed him. The same kind of person who will criticize you and what you're doing, they take their vacation and they go, I can't wait for vacation. Where are you going? Vegas. They're Christians. They're going to heaven. They can't tithe because they got to save their money to put it into a slot machine. Think about it. Can you imagine? I'm going to be on vacation soon. I can't. Oh, yes. And I'm going to be sitting there with my Bible on my beach chair with a good book about our founding fathers, no doubt. And I'm going to have my Pellegrino water, which I love. And I'm going to watch the whales jump up and down or a coconut fall or whatever it is. And I'm going to, God, you rock. Can you imagine a guy going to Vegas? All right. Number seven. Come on, lucky seven. Look, God bless this. Not going to happen. Listen, serve him in every bit that you are. Don't be carnal. Let's stand. Let's stand and close. Let's praise the Lord as we close in this song of worship. Listen, very important. I told you this message was for believers today.